My dad's best friend, Uncle Bob, shout out Uncle Bob, brought his son out because I think he just graduated high school or maybe college. I don't know what, but it was kind of like, you know, dad's son trip or something. And I knew him, but I didn't know him that well because a lot of times he was obviously in school. And then my Uncle Bob would just like come over to our family's place in Cleveland. So that's where I knew Uncle Bob so well. But his son might even played college, might even played minors for a second, but he was pretty good at baseball. And then he had a goal to go, and I think he was already like halfway done, to every major league stadium and buy a hat. To the game and buy a hat. And so then I like low-key did it, but not very strategic. I was trying to do it with basketball, but it was more without like purpose. It was when I fell into it. Mm-hmm. Like me and Omar were in Toronto, and we finished up filming. This is, I don't know, probably 7 years ago. We finished up filming, and I just randomly had gotten an alert, and I was like, oh, fuck, dude. Like, it's a playoff game here in Toronto. Yeah. So I bought tickets for, whatever, $100 in the nosebleeds and went to that shit. But I think all that's cool, especially, like, I guess football, too, probably. Although I love football, but I just don't go to that many live games for some reason. It just feels, like, too much almost. Like, baseball games feel casual. Like, dude, it's so long. You can show up late. You can leave early. You know, it's just not that big of a deal. We're like, football, there's so many people and shit. It would be cool to do, like, a nationwide tour of maybe even both. You might be able to hit both if you go in the spring. That'd be kind of crazy, right? Because baseball has already started. This week? Last week?
Last week.
Yeah. So you could hit a NBA game and a MLB game per city and bounce around. That'd be fun.
Yeah. We were talking off air that the fam and I are going to be in New York City in July. And actually June and July, parts of June, parts of July. We're going to, you know, we're just looking to take the grandkids to a baseball game because they haven't, well, like one of them has been to a major league game, but he was tiny.
Yeah, yeah.
So he wouldn't remember. And they're 9 and 6 now. So
yeah, they'll start to, they're with it.
I feel like
6 is the age.
Yeah, kind of with it.
I'm not a dad, but I feel like 6 is the age. Like, all right, they're going to remember this shit. Like, shit really is, like, meaningful. They can talk.
Yeah.
They can, like, really talk.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think the younger one is going to remember it. I don't know. He's not as into baseball as the older one.
Yeah.
The older one is
about it.
He's all about it, yes. And
sometimes I feel like going to that stuff makes you that way, though.
Yeah, I think it definitely can.
Like, I was in a Monster Trucks just because we went to a Monster Trucks.
Because you went to
the
Monster Trucks, yeah, that'd do it. Yeah, and so, like, Mets, City Field.
What made you choose that over the Yankees?
Schedule.
Yeah. Just schedule. Who was in town?
Yeah, the only Yankees game that would have worked would have been the day after we got there, and night game, and that's for kids. You just don't want to do that.
This is jet lagged and grumpy.
Yeah, I mean this is an afternoon game. It's a 1:40 game, so
that's fun
on a Sunday, so it makes sense. So anyway, I'm looking at tickets, and the place that we kind of normally sit anywhere we go is just kind of on the field level, usually on the third base side, sometimes on the first base side, just kind of depending, but usually not any higher than that. And you're usually, you know, they can be expensive, but they're not crazy expensive. But the Mets, it was like $200 a seat, which was in that section, and that wasn't even like right on the dugout. It was further outfield from that.
I do wonder why.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why. And then like those same seats.
Is it a big game? Are they like playing the Yankees
Astros,
or some shit?
Yeah. Astros.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Right? Because Astros have been balling.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I just don't know. I don't know if they do. I don't know at this point of the season they're doing like dynamic pricing or not. I have no idea. So, yeah. So we're going up a level and to the first base side. And those are 70, which is, you know, considerable. But in San Francisco, the same seats that I was looking at, they're $200 in New York or $55.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder about
that. And that isn't even on the secondary market. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and you're planning way ahead.
Yeah, way ahead, yes. Yeah. This is like, in June, like late June, June 29th or 30th, something like that.
Yeah.
And
it's a good amount ahead.
Yeah, yeah. It's just crazy expensive. I don't get it. I don't understand why it's so much more expensive. Although the Mets have like a gigantic payroll. I think they have the biggest payroll. But the Giants this year too, they spent money finally. They're subject to the luxury tax this year.
But even that's
for the first time in a while.
That's like dumb business. Like you jack your prices up when you're winning. Not based on what you signed.
Spent.
Because you signed a bunch of duds for a lot of money. No one's going to come watch you.
The Padres have been spending a fortune and have not really gotten much traction off that. You know.
Yeah.
The first round out is the best they've done in a while. So.
I've been to the Padres Stadium. Is it Petco now?
I don't know. Petco. Yeah.
I was there at I think it was at Tony Gwynn's retirement day.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Just randomly. Yeah, I feel like you always have to know people. So, like, my family in Cleveland doesn't make a ton of money by any means, less than a ton of money, way less than a ton of money. And for some reason, and obviously the Indians fucking suck. Not always, but...
Guardians,
yeah.
But yes.
Oh, yeah, the Guardians. Nah. The Indians. and so, like, we'd always end up with sick tickets somehow.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I don't know, my aunt worked in an office, and that office has somebody, or she knows somebody. You just always know people, especially I feel like in cities like that, because it's so like old family-esque.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where California is a little different. A lot of people moved here. Families have been there for generations, so she knows somebody with season tickets that she could get them from. So we sit in like, what is it, like club level where you're getting served, you know, and there's no way we're paying for that. Like my dad couldn't afford it. No way my aunts could, but... You got to know folks. The only thing I never went to a Browns game because they weren't a team for half of my fucking life. And then I read something, though, about their stadium. I forgot what it was. I don't want to misquote despite the name of the podcast. But I think people were saying it was like one of the better stadiums because it's on the water. It's kind of like the Giants stadium. Kinda,
yeah.
Because it is on like a lake. Yeah. Live sports are cool, man. I feel like... it's not something like a lot of people who aren't into sports go do, but it seems like live music. Some people just don't like try it, but there's something special about both of them. There really is. And I don't really care if you like sports or not. Like, I don't love baseball, but I'll go to a live baseball game any day.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about it. There's something about it.
Well, speaking of more baseball news, but this actually may be old news by the time this comes out, but it's supposed to be decided today where the A's are going to play next year and for the next 3 years.
How's the Sacramento bid look? Decent?
It's at the top right now.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's got some inside information on this, and that was confirmed by some stuff that was in the B today.
But it looks like maybe.
It looks like maybe, but it also looks like Las Vegas still may not happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Long term.
But well, the reason that, because Oakland just made a bid to keep the A's for the interim. For the next three. And because of the fan boycotts, and they've totally empty seats most of the time, it just looks terrible.
Yeah.
And just the general bad juju between the team and the city of Oakland, MLB doesn't want the A's to stay there at all.
Sure. Well, so, what's the second option long term?
I don't know.
I bet you it's Vegas. It'll go through. There's just so much money pumping in that city. It's going crazy.
Yeah, maybe so. But there's, you know, I mean, the mayor is opposed, although she doesn't really have any.
Oakland mayor?
No, the
Vegas.
Vegas mayor is opposed. Yeah.
Really? I wonder why. Because everything else has done so well.
Just the money. I think the money going into it, and that's like it's not as though the owners of the A's don't have money.
Yeah. Well, I just, because obviously hockey's been going crazy there. They won Stanley Cups on Stanley Cups. The Raiders have done okay, but the T-Mobile Arena where the UFC and the hockey, I just explored that area for the first time. I'd driven by it, but I see it from the freeway. Like, I don't really go to the Strip, you know, and I know that sounds like a gatekeepy local thing to say, but you just don't unless you're going to go get food. So we did. We went to Eataly.
Yeah.
Which is right next to it all. And they built up that section of the Strip to be so, like, nice and, like, classy. Like, it feels so good by the T-Mobile, the hockey arena, and whatever. And basically, the baseball arena's plans are across the street from that, where the Tropicana is.
Okay.
And so, like, it would mesh so perfectly. And there's just no way. I mean, maybe it's just me, but, like, if I'm going to Vegas on a dude's trip or whatever the fuck, Bachelor, and you just like look on your phone like, oh, the A's are in town tonight, like you're gonna buy a ticket, you're gonna buy like a $50 ticket, go sit, go get drunk, because you're walking to it on the Strip. Like, it makes so much sense. Something randomly that was announced this morning too is like they're breaking down the Tropicana, which is one of the oldest hotels there, and that's the future plans for the arena. But behind that, they're like, I don't know, because Vegas, it's social media, so they like, you know, pump the news story full of like steroids and like make it so fantastical, but they basically sound like they're trying to make like a man-made like beach ocean there behind it.
And so, okay.
And I like in Vegas, I kind of believe it, you know, like 2 years ago, Bart was sending me articles about Mark Wahlberg opening a Hollywood. They just broke ground on that. You know, like they are moving like crazy because of the money. So I do wonder why the mayor's so opposed.
Yeah, and I think there's a subsidy, but I think it's from the legislature, actually not the city. So that's why she doesn't have any control.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that's.
I bet she has no control, anyways.
Probably.
You
not.
Know, like when you think of casino money, like she's just
probably
she's
not.
Just hanging on.
Yeah,
she's just the face.
Yeah, she's just hanging on, doing what they say, trying to keep them happy. That's her job.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. It's just like
you know,
we need your tax money
because for sure.
We're not doing tax money. You know. On the same level.
Yeah. No one is. No one in the world is.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
The Kings or Sacramento would be fun. It'd be really cool. I think it'd be cool for the city. I remember when the fucking Rivercats came here and how big of a deal that was.
Yeah. And it's still a big deal. And now, you know, the Rivercats are owned by the Kings ownership.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And there's, I mean, in the paper today, and I actually heard this rumor and it confirmed in the paper that the Kings might be interested in because the owner of the like main owner of the Kings, you know, Ranadive, and the owner of the A's are friends and have like been friends for a long time.
I'm sure so there's Silicon like, Valley connects.
There's a potential for that Kings ownership to buy the A's. If they did that, then they would not be going to Vegas. That would be silly. Another thing, too.
I don't know. The Maloofs, they ran half their empire in Vegas.
Yeah, but see what happened there, though? They stopped spending on the team at some point.
Maybe. Basketball's a little different, though, because like what you spend on the team is so limited.
Yeah.
It's much different than baseball is literally like how big are your pockets.
I think that, too, because you were talking about hockey. The hockey there has exploded, but that was an expansion team.
It was.
The Raiders have done okay.
Yeah.
But the Raiders have been moving around like a fucking chess piece.
Right. That's why it's hard.
Since the 80s.
Yeah, it's
since
hard.
The 70s?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Before, yeah.
Yeah.
They've been everywhere.
Yeah. They've been all over the place. That they would maybe have been better off with an expansion team. And
maybe.
I think that's probably true of baseball.
Yeah. I don't know when the last time the NFL expanded, though.
It's been a minute, yeah.
And it might have been like the Rams in them in the 80s.
Yeah. And then... why isn't basketball?
It's planned. The next expansion there's the contract is like giant for like the players union or something. There's some giant contract that's supposed to get done in these next 2 years, and then he's already said they're basically going to expand in 2026, 2028, and it's almost guaranteed it'll be Seattle and Vegas.
Yeah, Seattle I could see. Seattle was pissed.
Yeah.
Having lost their team to...
Yeah, I don't know the next expansion around that, too. Even though they might have called Oklahoma an expansion for some reason, because something else maybe moved. Obviously, it was the Sonics at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when they expanded either. But, yeah, I think they're going to add a couple more. Yeah, I don't know. Expanding a league like that, like scaling any business is so hard, but an expansion team is, like, probably so difficult in the back-end numbers to figure out when it's time to do that.
Well, I mean, part of the thing, too, with an expansion team is, like, all of the existing team ownership gets money.
Yeah. But don't you have, like, at least in the NBA, I think you chalk up, like, two players.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's, like,
you know?
a Rule 5 draft is what they call it one of the sports. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, but basically, you have to expose a couple of players to...
Yeah. That's scary. But then the money aspect. Like, what if you just don't sell tickets?
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, Tampa Bay, they don't sell tickets.
Football,
Okay.
Until they got Tommy.
Baseball, either.
Oh, yeah. Baseball. You never heard about the
Rays. They don't. Because
football's done okay lately.
Yeah, football's done okay, but baseball has not done great.
And I think they have hockey.
Yeah.
And I think they do good.
Do they?
Which makes no sense. I don't follow hockey like that, but, like, I don't know. And obviously it's an indoor sport, so who gives a shit? But when you think about Tampa Bay, I'm not thinking about hockey. Or folks that like hockey.
Yeah.
Right? The idea of going to see hockey, and obviously there's fans everywhere, but the point is that you probably grew up watching it and playing it, so then you go watch it. If you grew up in Tampa Bay...
You're not thinking about hockey.
Not once. Even Sacramento.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Sacramento's way icier than Tampa Bay, and it's not a thing here.
Yeah.
You know? It is an interesting business. The Kings A's thing is interesting though. I mean, I think a pro league could probably, or a pro team could probably hang here, and arguably better than Oakland.
Maybe better than Oakland.
At least just because of the history.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The history of the A's, isn't very good since the 80s.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, it's part of it. It's just not spending any money. And Moneyball only works so far. Moneyball will get you maybe the first round of the playoffs if you have chosen very well.
Yeah, and I think another big issue is just culture of the West Coast. Kind of like we were talking before, like there's so many transplants that like to be like a diehard A's fan.
Yeah.
Like how many people are born and raised generationally in Oakland? Yeah. Probably not that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're either going to try to move out or you're going to try to go to the Bay. You know, you're wiggling around. We're like, I'm telling you, like Cleveland, even Vegas, I am surprised how many signs there are, mostly hockey, but like every car's got a Knights sticker on it.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, you literally can't drive by a house in the suburbs without an Indians, a Browns, an Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Like they're everywhere. Every single house has a sign on it, you know? Like my aunt, like she listens to every game on the radio. Yeah. Like it's crazy. You know, they're about it. They're about it. And you just don't get that out here for college or pro. The Kings fans are pretty good. Kings fans are pretty good, but it's not like that.
Yeah, I think too that like we're talking about expansion versus relocation. A team relocation is a little bit like adopting a teenager.
Yeah, it's hard. It is hard.
Nobody knows exactly how to respond.
That's why it hasn't gone crazy with the Raiders. Everyone thinks because like the Raiders are just like a travel team. You know, they've been in four cities in the last four decades.
Yeah,
and their fan base is like mostly LA people.
Yeah, now, yeah.
You know, which is crazy. And so, like, yeah, they just don't care. They just haven't, like, adopted them yet. But if they win some games and if they, like, show they're there a while, you know, maybe. The Rams got some love in St. Louis, and they have another team that traveled everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, now they're back in L.A., and they're probably getting a little bit of love. Yeah, the Chargers in L.A., too. Everything's, yeah, there's a lot of movement for how much money that is.
Yeah.
Now that we're just a news reporting show, I saw that
Yeah.
I saw it. So when I'm in fucking like high school, it might have been when I was 18. It was like my first voting experience. We were voting for the bullet train, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento to San Francisco to Los Angeles. Fucking sick. Vote that, man. Take my 5 cents. You know, I don't give a shit. That still like literally hasn't happened. It's from like Merced to like Bakersfield, even if.
A couple of years to go. Still.
Yeah. And that was, so that was state funded and state run, right? Program.
Yeah.
They just announced, which is, it is fucking genius, and it does make me think there's puppet masters going out there. They're going San Diego to Seattle, bullet train, in the next 2 years to get ready for the World Cup and the future Olympics. Because what's the Olympics, 2030, 2028? Yeah, it's LA, I think. And then the World Cup's 2026. And so they're trying to go Vegas, which I think gets an arena. San Francisco gets an arena. They announced a schedule. We should fucking buy tickets is what we should do. I'm trying to see Messi by chance that he comes. But they're going, I think they said 3.5 hours.
Good Lord.
Bullet train.
Doing that so fast?
Yeah, it makes me think that there's no stop.
Yeah, maybe.
Right, it might be direct. And you're probably going, 300 miles per hour. You're just screaming. Yeah, if there's no stop and they go through like the central part,
I don't know anything about this at all.
Yeah, I just saw it yesterday.
Wow,
which is crazy. The LA one which is whatever because it's like Rancho Cucamonga. It's still better than nothing. To Vegas has already been digging. You can see it on the freeways, and I think it's going to run in between the freeways.
Oh yeah,
which is kind of easy. Makes sense. The path's already drawn, and then they showed the and then it lands you, I think, in the strip, which is cool. The train station looks all fancy and nice. It doesn't really make sense that we haven't tried that nationwide.
Well, yeah, we abandoned so much of it is the problem. Yeah, like we walked away from it, and then recreating it is super expensive. Yeah. And especially like any you know, civic project in America costs a fortune.
Yeah, and the hoops you got to jump through, zoning or whatever. But there's powerful folks. I would just think like some trillionaire would go to Amtrak and say like, hey, let's like just replace your shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's literally just old tech.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And you could just haul ass. I mean, imagine you get from Sacramento to Boston in 10 hours.
Yeah.
Right? And you make it $100 or whatever the shit.
Last summer we went from, or late spring, early summer, we went from, you know, London to Paris in a little over 2 hours.
Yeah, that's so normal.
Yeah, super normal. Everyone just does it. And just the whole infrastructure, the rail infrastructure in that part of Europe is just outstanding compared to anything that we can do here.
Yeah, I've done New York to Boston, and it was through Madison Square Garden Station or whatever, so that was cool. And that was convenient, but it wasn't that fast.
Yeah, it's not super fast.
And it was pretty convenient because it does dump you downtown to downtown, mm-hmm. and the seats were nice and shit like that, but like, yeah, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I think we're going to do either New York to Boston or New York to Philly at the end of this New York trip.
Yeah, I think that train's good too, Philly to New York. And then even DC-ish, I think you can all get to that kind of like square via train. I think they're doing a bullet, don't quote me, but I think they might be trying to do one from like Dallas to Houston too.
That would be interesting.
That's the article I saw, is like up and coming bullet train projects. And I think they're all private because that's the only way you're going to get it done.
Yeah. It's going to be expensive.
For sure.
Build and expensive to actually get on, too.
That's the back end of the Vegas one. Like, they're rumored to, like, charge $300 a ticket. And, like, no one's going to buy that.
Yeah, that's a little more expensive than the flight.
The flight's the same cost. Yeah. Cheaper cost and quicker. And it drives 4 hours. Isn't that crazy? Like, you're going to have to wiggle that to get some demand. But
yeah,
in the future, maybe.
I don't know. If you're in another country, it makes more sense too, because you don't know where you're going and where you're doing. It's easier to let somebody else do the driving. So it's
true. Yeah, but how do you not do one on the West Coast when our cities line up literally perfectly?
Yeah.
Right? You go San Diego, LA, SAC, and San Fran, Portland, Seattle.
Yeah, if they could have run bullet train along with I-5 when they built I-5, that would have made sense.
Literally.
It would have looked like a Disneyland monorail, but still, you know, considering the time that it was built.
Yeah, but if you're going, 300 miles per hour, bless you. Yeah, you're just whipping. It just makes a lot of sense. Yeah, same idea. You think about tourism, let alone like everyday folks that could commute. Mm-hmm. Everyday folks could have literal jobs anywhere. But then, you're from Europe and you fly to San Diego, you could visit the entire West Coast in one trip.
Mm-hmm.
To visit the U.S. seems so hard if you're not from here.
Yeah. And
like, where do you start?
And people from... Even people from other parts of the country think that California is like easy to get around in, and it's not.
Yeah, no, it's impossible.
And you know, LA and Sacramento are not close to each other.
Yeah, I mean, even San Francisco and Sacramento. Like, if you're like from Europe or something, like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna rent a car. You're gonna run an Uber.
You can train.
Yeah, and even that's a bitch because you gotta take buses in between and trash to get city to city.
I think you can go straight on the train.
Last time I did, you couldn't.
Really?
Yeah, it was a while ago. But yeah, you get dumped off in like Oakland-ish, then you got to take a bus,
like Emeryville.
Then you got to go BART.
Yeah,
it's just annoying.
Yeah, Caltrain.
Maybe. Yeah, there's definitely a couple hoppers in between, which is stupid because we're an hour away.
They're the big buses right now too.
Yeah, buses are kind of outdated too. Like, I get that it's crazy affordable, but.
Yeah, the new ones are actually supposed to be pretty nice, like Wi-Fi, and they're clean and all that stuff, and they're not charging that much.
No, they're cheap. They're cheap.
But also you have to know about those things.
Like, yeah.
You got to look into the travel guides and all that kind of stuff, figure out where to...
And they'll take forever.
Yeah, it's not fast.
Bus takes forever.
For sure. You can't take a helicopter. We don't have flying cars yet, so...
Soon.
Yeah, giant drones.
Yeah. Yeah, drone buses.
So something that I just wanted to throw out here today was this article that I got pointed to from something else that I was reading.
Free the Hub.
About people talk about porn addiction. Because, oh yeah, I'm addicted to porn, or I was addicted to porn.
Free the Hub, you pervs.
It isn't.
You're not
a thing.
You're just a sicko.
It isn't a thing.
You're just a sicko.
Studies have shown that it isn't a thing.
I wonder how that relates to sex addiction.
I think that there's a good possibility that sex addiction also addiction also does not exist. But
porn, I'm just human, people.
Porn addiction.
I'm just human.
Yeah, this is an article from Psychology.
Just human trying to procreate
from 2018, so not new.
Yeah.
This is like, and I don't know why this is not like trickling through the culture a little bit more than it has.
Some of it's just funny too, like, not to be non-empathetic here, but you're like opening up, you know, and it's like very social media stuff. Yeah. Like it's very common to talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? And it's common to talk about all like traumas, right? Because you're trying to be relatable and you're trying to tell your story, which I do believe is a positive of social media, right? To make you feel not alone, that someone else lost a husband or whatever. Even going through heartbreak, like it's more relatable now than ever because you can visually see other people going through it. But it's just like, yeah, you're open up on a heart to heart. And then you say like porn addiction, and we've almost categorized it so much because they talk about it. But like when you really think about someone's porn addiction, it's crazy. Like you're just fucking stroking your cock too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like your issue is just fucking going crazy.
There are certain like characteristics of addiction.
Yeah.
And that porn does not meet.
Yeah. What, like, I know like one like base level one that at least I go by and some therapists and stuff talk to me about is just like, yeah, like how is it affecting your regular life?
Right.
So like, are you literally sitting in the shower and say like, I have to go to class right now. Class is at 9 o'clock. And then you just jerk off for an hour and miss class. Yeah. Is that like happening every day?
That would be a lot.
Right. But that is like what would make addiction or like, yeah, I have this meeting or I'm supposed to meet Sebas for dinner, but I just jerked off for 2 hours instead.
Yeah.
Right. Like doing something a lot doesn't mean you're addicted.
Correct.
Right? Yes. Like I work out, I'm definitely not addicted to working out. I drink caffeine, I'm definitely not addicted.
Yeah.
I just know, you know?
Yeah. So this study actually looked at a bunch of different studies, and the thing that they found I thought was very interesting, that people who describe themselves as being addicted to porn or afraid that they're addicted to porn or whatever, don't use that much porn. And the morality problem around it is...
It's like a guilt.
It's religiosity.
It's like a guilt relief to say you're addicted.
Exactly.
When you're just a normal jerker.
Yeah.
And the real addicts, like us, don't talk about it.
Don't talk about it. Exactly.
Like just the three of us.
Yourselves.
Like the three of us. So you didn't know. It is funny because, like, I'm sure there's some people that can actually be addicted to anything, right? Yeah. And you got to go find help to screw your way through that, right? Whatever it is. And those are often the people that may have a story to tell. But I do wonder, the people that talk about it freely and anything. Like, people have talked about steroids or they've talked about workout addicts, which is a thing, I think. And I don't know clinically, but... Again, you can hypothetically get addicted to anything in individual, whether it's a big problem or not, I think is the discussion here. But if you like don't go seek help, because if again, joking aside, like if you're the real addict, you're not talking about it because you don't know.
Right.
Like you might be ashamed that you jerk off a lot or something, but you're not kind of like you said, the real ones, you might have a guilt. So they express this addiction, but you don't like express that addiction typically until you've gone through like therapies and programs to realize where you're at. And you don't go to therapies and programs to realize where you're at until it's so negatively affecting your real life, right? You're broke. Your wife left you. You sold your car for the new Playboy magazine, right? Like that would be the porn addict's path, which you hear about with alcohol and other things like. But the people talking about it, there's one big YouTuber I know. I don't know if we mentioned. He talks about it all the time. We can talk about it. Fousey talks about it all the time. But Fousey talked about getting, and this might be different, but the same. I think he, and I don't know because people are so good at making content, he could just be funny. Mm-hmm. But he talks about getting rub and tug so much that he was an addict. And went broke through it. And then, like, I think.
That's a lot of rubbing and tugging. That's enough friction to start a. Fire.
Yeah. And I don't know what the price range is on them things, but, and he obviously, you know, I think he suffers from bipolar disorder and some other things that obviously all accumulate all this, together, but he's gotten help.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched his streams and he's literally on the phone with his therapist, who's like Jake Paul's therapist, like all these famous people's therapists. And she seems actually fucking dope.
Uh-huh.
Like on the phone call, I'm like, dude, this lady seems so awesome. And it's clearly helped him in some ways, but yeah, I wonder, sex addiction, porn addiction, but I think he went broke doing it, right? Which again probably leads to like, oh, maybe that was an addiction,
maybe,
and then he got help. I think he had to go to AA because I think he was doing something, maybe he's just drinking, I don't know, but he was doing something, so he went through like legitimate therapy, then or program, and then that therapy, and then he comes out and tells a story. Like that seems normal to me rather than like I don't know.
Yeah.
The only thing I could, yeah, like caffeine, I guess, would be like my one of my bigger vices, if you wanted to call it that. And
it used to be one of mine, and I can take it or leave it now. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I like the cup of coffee in the morning, but like it's not drinking nearly as much as I used to. I don't usually drink it at other times of day. And I bought an espresso, which gives you like a double espresso amount of coffee, yeah. And you can Americano it up a little bit with some more hot water. But like, it's 2/3 of what I used to drink in the morning,
yeah.
And I don't go back to it most of the time.
Some of mine is I just like all the drinks.
Yeah.
Like I love the taste of coffee. I love soda type things. So I love energy drinks rather than, yeah, I drink so much of it. I don't really get buzzed per se.
Yeah, no, I'm drinking less, and I'm not more susceptible to it, yeah. As far as I can tell.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell. This article makes the point that porn addiction is not diagnosable anyway, and it never has been.
Interesting. But so it's not in any med
books. DSM, whatever. No. Uh-uh.
I do understand, I guess now, to defend my porn friends, as I just ripped you apart, being fake. There is something wrong with... And it's new, so I do think it's still going to evolve. But the human addiction with technology, right? Because things...
That seems like a possibility.
Right? Yeah. Because of the instant gratification that you can get from anything.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a shopaholic, or I feel good when I shop. Mm-hmm. I can shop quicker than I've ever could shop, mm-hmm. right? And I do believe, because the big argument for some of these people are on the alpha male, you know, masculinity train. And some of it I agree with, where like... Back in the day, you know, to bust a nut, you would have to, one, walk into a shady place and grab a Playboy, mm-hmm. right? And like do that work to go get it. Or, mm-hmm. or wine and dine a beautiful partner, mm-hmm. you know, male or female. I don't know what kind of porn you guys are watching. But you'd have to go,
and
you know.
We're okay with whatever it is because we don't have to watch with you.
Yeah. As long,
we don't
yeah.
have to watch with
I don't
want to so
hear
fine.
About it. I don't want to hear about yeah. it. You know, yeah, you'd have to, you know, find a woman. You'd have to get the courage to say hello. Yeah. You'd have to say, hey, can I get your number? Hey, you want to go grab dinner? You buy her dinner. Hopefully you do that a couple times, and then you get to bust your nut, right? There's like...
But you're not having porn sex then either, though.
Well, you know, again, I don't like to judge how wild and freaky deaky some of these people may be. But yeah, yeah. Long story short, yeah, the phone's such a shortcut
yeah.
to this end goal. But then I guess to play devil's advocate, and I'm hypothetically speaking because I'm not a historian, back in the day it was probably simpler too, though. You know, whether you want to talk caveman or whatever, there probably wasn't as much whining and dining going on, right? One, there's arranged marriage, mm-hmm. right? So you're not doing shit. Your parents are setting you up with your nut busting. And then two, you know, but previous to that, it's probably ooga ooga, I'm strong man, you know, you're with me.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, I agree with that or not, but there probably wasn't a lot of wine and dining. But I do think it probably wires your brain not good in many ways, and I'm guilty as anyone, just to have so much power in your phone
right.
to affect our mood,
yeah, yeah.
negative, positive, dopamine, and all that shit. So I think that it might be more of a tech addiction.
Yeah, and yeah, potentially, yeah.
Or dopamine-chasing addiction.
Not specific to porn, but specific to... Being,
yeah,
yeah.
You can like get such highs and
content.
You can get highs and lows in 10 seconds.
Yeah,
where
for sure.
You know, again, we take away technology, and the highs and lows comes through such a long thing. You're either hearing a story from a friend, and then you're getting sad or happy, or you got to go do this and X, Y, Z. But there's like paths to the dopamine hits and shit.
Yeah, and you know, also you're talking about dating. Like, I don't know if dating is easier or harder, but seeing what's available or who's
interested, it's way harder. We're fucked. I'm single forever. No, it's fucked. Yeah, it's fucked out there.
You know, you haven't done the app thing.
I've played with the apps. It's fucked. It's all fucked. Because then, like, same, it's almost worse. I was just talking to some of the members out there about, like, the interview process of works and businesses uh-huh. and how flawed that is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, someone is obviously showing up prepared to tell you what they think you want to hear.
Correct.
Well, what do you think a dating app is?
Yeah, pretty
right?
much,
they're
yeah.
They're telling you what they think you want to hear, so maybe you got a chance to make them maybe feel cool to then go on a date with them, and they fucking suck, and they got nothing going on. No, it's all... I do think as much as the internet has blessed me in my life for many ways, it might be a net negative, man. What do they call it? Web 2? I think we're technically in Web 2, where Web 1 was a place to like store stuff. Mm. Web 2 is a place where you can interact with stuff. I was even just talking to Jordan out there and how Web 2, the internet's basically become a marketplace. There's not a lot else going on the internet besides money transactions for something, right? Netflix streaming, you're paying for it, right? Mm-hmm. It's all consumer-based or even B2B. It doesn't really matter. It's all a marketplace. Where back in the day, yeah, stored data, right? You'd find the dictionary online. You'd go and read that or whatever the fuck. Blogs. And even now, blogs, right? Like, yeah, you can. I'm not saying you can't learn on there, but they're selling you something. And I think that might be part of the issue here as well.
Yeah, I think that's possible. But my point was, like, there are people on apps, and if you're trying to connect with people, they may not be the people that you want to connect with, but there are people there.
For sure. It's easy.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's what, like, Tinder, even still to this day, I don't know, Subhouse is younger than me, but I think it's just known as the fuck app.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah,
you're just going on Tinder because everyone's just trying to fuck. Fish. Yeah, no, I think some of those people are dating.
Do you think...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They each have their own, like, culture about them. Yeah, they each have their own culture about them. Yeah, I think Plenty of Fish are the more mature folks. I've heard of, like, friends, parents, or moms, or whatever.
People who are still using Facebook.
Yeah. It's the Facebook gen. Yeah, Christian Mingle and Plenty of Fish are the Facebook gen, for sure. Even though I'm kind of the Facebook gen, to be honest.
Yeah, no, you are.
It literally became college accessible, or public accessible, when I got into college.
Yeah.
Yeah, like literally that year, so I'm definitely Facebook gen.
And that was originally a dating app. Well, not even a dating app, a rating app.
Yeah, for sure a rating app, literal. But even a dating app after that, like, you'd go to a party in college, and then, like, next day, like, you're getting friend requests from the chicks, or your friend requesting a chick. Yeah, it's the same as Instagram now. But, yeah, there's just so much of it. And, like, yeah, you're scrolling profiles, you see what you want to see. Yeah, it is messy, man. It is. The internet's changed so much shit in life that I think the issue with it isn't the change. The issue with it is that people don't recognize the change. They don't take the time to realize, like, oh, man, like, dating is fucked because of XYZ. Or I'm scrolling around like crazy, or I'm on Tinder swiping like crazy. I'm beating my meat every 2 hours like crazy because I'm looking for this, actually. I think it's like actual self-awareness. Because you can blame tech, but it's all in the individual. I've never missed class beating my meat, you know? I don't think I've missed anything.
Probably
beating
cut it
my
close
meat.
A couple times, but not, you know, not really missed it.
Yeah, I took morning class. I was too tired. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But it is very common. And some of it is selly, because you see it's the alpha male guys. Because then they're doing that, and then they're trying to sell you how to date course on the back end.
Yeah.
Right? Or how to raise your testosterone, or how to be a man on the back end.
Yeah. And I think that it claiming that you're addicted to porn and that you're trying to, you know, work on your porn addiction is a virtue signal.
Yeah. A lot of it. I mean, the whole internet's a walking virtue signal now. Yeah. I hate it. What do they call it? Semen retention.
Oh.
Semen retention.
That just sounds dirty.
Semen retention. That's good. That's good for your masculinity.
That's no nut November.
Yeah, no nut lifestyle.
Yeah, except that I mean, I don't have an article for that, but there are articles for that.
There's no way.
A problem, yeah.
And again, like, I don't love the argument of going, like, well, on an evolutionary sense, what do we are? But, you know, but a lot of things you can start to string back down. And, like, we have a trillion goddamn semen for a reason. We're made to bust nuts left and right.
Yeah.
So then, like, why would you be addicted to busting nuts left and right?
Yeah.
I guess it's not a jerk-off addiction. They're talking about porn. But still, then it's the technology accessibility issue.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's entirely different issue than it used to be when, as you were saying, you used to go to a bookstore, or like you could get a Playboy at the grocery store, but you couldn't get, and it was in brown paper wrapper.
Yeah.
But you couldn't get anything else.
And they're not addicted to that. And are you saying because it's HD now on Pornhub? Like, I don't think that's why people are addicted.
I don't think that's why. I think there's just so much of it.
Right. And it's the accessibility.
Yeah.
Right. Because you can click twice and get there and then be all fucking...
But,
And the type, probably.
Yeah,
right?
Almost.
Because Playboy isn't having like 8 cocks, 20 women, and a monkey in there.
No.
Fucking.
A monkey?
Man, the hub's got everything. You know? I think that's probably a bigger issue, too. And I'm not here to kink shame. Like, if you're into all that, you're into whatever the fuck you're into. But I do think the accessibility, you know? Some of it, yeah, it's weird, man. Internet's weird. You find anything on the hub.
Yeah, people find all sorts of things to get excited about.
Yeah.
Do not appeal to other people. What's weird is, you know, when the contours of those things, you know, people are have been exposed to it or not been exposed to it or whatever, all kind of look the same for certain kinds of fetishes or whatever.
Yeah, you wonder, like, if you're actually attracted to something. I joke about this with my sexuality, but if you're actually attracted to something, and maybe I'm just talking my ass, but in my opinion, I don't think you need to be exposed to it first to know if you are or not.
Probably not.
Right? They're like, oh, you got to suck a dick to see if you're gay. Like, no. I know. I never had to think about it. Like, I know I don't want to suck a dick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, maybe that's another issue with porn, is that you hunt for crazy shit. Then you're going to be interested in crazy shit, although you might not be actually just attracted to crazy shit. Right? Yeah. If I'm 12, never been on the internet, and I close my eyes and I see myself, you know, doing whatever, XYZ, then maybe I'm attracted to XYZ. But if I'm 12 and I have access to the internet and I just am a crazy kid, every kid at 12 is crazy, and you start hunting for crazy shit because you're looking for shock factor because you're fucking 12, now all of a sudden your brain's getting programmed for some weird shit. Now, is that an addiction? I don't think so necessarily, but I do think those are issues that maybe, again, these people who claim porn addiction are laterally, like the argument's lateral to what their virtue signaling.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, it's difficult to unpack when someone comes out on social media and they're like, oh, I'm just addicted to porn or whatever. Being addicted to sex is the diagnosis is compulsive sexual behavior disorder.
Yeah.
And that, like, the World Health Organization is excluding the moral conflict part that seems to be driving the bad feelings around porn from that. It's just literally like their person's religiousness isn't really a factor in doing it. It's that they have a diagnosable disorder.
Yeah, yeah.
Around it, but
and it's probably not just high test.
No,
like probably. There's some wires that are probably a little twisted.
A little twisted, yeah. But the people who are coming out to say these things, either they're literally virtue signaling, or they believe that something is real and they see aspects of that within themselves.
Sure.
And they come forward, but they're also, you know, reaping the benefit of people.
Attention, money.
Exactly.
I think that's the bigger issue of all of it and all the social media. And my issue of where social media has gotten is I think there's a very fine line of like being vulnerable and being authentic and then finding or helping people that can relate to your story versus taking advantage of that. And I literally do think 80% of everything I see on the fucking internet feels like a virtue signal because people are talking about it so fucking much. The things I've opened up about in the history, I don't talk about all the time. And I was even thinking about this the other day because me and Abby just, it was little Jerry's birthday. So we went and got ice cream and Abby drove me in. I forgot how it started, but I talk about my best friend passing away. And that's like something I've talked about on the internet, but it's not something I talk about in every fucking episode because I want everyone out there to pity me for losing my best friend.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, and I'm not ashamed of it by any means, but it's like an uncomfortable thing to talk about. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to rethink about my best friend dying and going to that hospital. I think that's why we were talking about hospitals and that brought it up or whatever.
Yeah,
but I don't want to talk about that all the time. And I've never been a porn addict, but if I was or were,
you wouldn't be.
I probably wouldn't be stoked on it.
Right.
Right. And so, like, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't find any clout from it at all.
Right.
That's what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and maybe once or twice I'd open up about it and try to really help and relate to people out there. Or I'd go on a mission to find therapist to interview or something that really helped that cause or donate my money and time to like help that cause if I really think it's a thing. But I don't think you're stoked about talking about it all the fucking time. And maybe they're more courageous than I am, but that's with anything.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's like escaping a cult or any like crazy stuff, you don't want to talk about all day, every day. It doesn't feel good.
Right.
And if it's real, I don't think it ever feels good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Because then people's argument would be like, oh, well, if you talk about it enough, you normalize it for yourself. But like, if you went through it, I don't think it ever becomes normal.
I mean, you and I have both lost a best friend.
Yeah.
And we've both lost at least one parent.
Yeah.
And if we talked about it all the time, that's just who we would be to everybody.
Right.
And
yeah, you're like, it's branding. Yeah, that's what virtue signaling is online, is you're branding yourself in this niche. Yeah,
it's a thing that people can connect to us about on the rare occasions that we bring it up.
Right. Because everyone will go through this stuff, and we get it, and we want to relate, and it was a dark time, and it is part of who I am, for sure. Like, it has built me in a lot of ways.
Me too.
Yeah, I remember going through it and thinking, like, damn, this is going to, like, be part of me.
Yeah.
I just don't think you're, like, stoked on talking about it all the time. If you're fucking, especially porn, that's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah.
Talking about jerking off is, like, kind of a dude locker room thing, but, like, yeah, you're just not, like... You fucked your life up by playing with your cock?
Yeah.
Like, that's not something to be stoked on. So then it just fuels virtue signaling based on that, I think, for me. That if it was that deep, you just come about it a little different.
Yeah.
And it is just, I'm telling you, it's so common. All this stuff. And even, like, the open relationship stuff that was a big trend online. Okay, so you're into polygamy or whatever. That's cool. One, I don't care. Two, and I get it. Like, maybe you're trying to share the way for other people that don't believe or can't relate with monogamy. Okay, that's cool. But, like, then again, all you want to talk about is that? All you want to talk about is dating five people at the time and how to do that? Probably not. Like, you're probably virtue signaling. You're probably making money somewhere on the back end. Mm. You're probably selling an ebook on dating. Like, it's just all of it. The internet's gotten to a really weird place for me. And I'm very, iffy on most things I consume because of that. Like, I'll watch a bunch of stuff. And if you're straight up about what you're making money on, then it feels a little better.
Yeah.
Like comedians, why do they send clips all over Instagram? Well, because they're trying to sell their shows.
Exactly.
But that's
people to watch.
But that's all
great.
It's
harder now to get people to watch things that's ever been.
Yeah. Because
there are too many,
for sure,
too many options.
But that's great to me.
Yeah.
You're trying to show me something funny, so then you are selling me funny on Netflix or in person. Like, it's so relatable. But, like, yeah, say you are a real porn addict, whatever that means, and then you're going to sell me, like, one, you're probably not a doctor, but you're going to sell me some masculinity, you're like anti-porn thing. Or then, yeah, you're swinging so hard the other way that you're like anti-porn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not pro-porn, but...
Again, that's a branding.
Right. And then you're probably selling some shit that's like not clear.
Yeah.
Like, we talk somewhat fitness here, but we just talk life now. But because we're selling a gym, we have a gym.
Yes, we have...
Like, it's not like a...
We have an apparel line. We have a gym.
Yeah, it's not like...
We don't sell the apparel line as probably as much as we could, but anyway.
But it's not like a hidden agenda.
No, it's not.
You know, it's not a sneaky agenda. Like, we work out, I like clothes, we got a place to work out and buy clothes. So. Exactly. Like, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
And it just feels weird when you're doing all that.
There's no backdoor pitch that
or unrelated
I think
what people really are is addicted to attention.
I would agree with that,
and that's where I don't know if that's diagnosable either. Well, I guess it is in terms of maybe like narcissists and shit, but that's so extreme. That term's getting
It's hard to find people who are like classically narcissists.
No, people use that term all over the internet because they did one online therapy Zoom call and now they think they're narcissist pros. But like an actual like NPD, like narcissistic personality disorder, is fucking so rare. It's there. They're out there, but it's rare.
Yeah, it's more the case that some people are just assholes,
right?
And disregard other people. It's not, and put themselves first. But like the classical diagnosis, narcissism.
Yeah, it's far and few between.
Personality disorder is not.
Yeah, some people, just selfish and unaware. They're not self aware, but. I do think the internet is breeding more of them.
I think that's probably true,
because that's what they say. A narcissist, everything's mostly nature and nurture, right?
Right.
And a lot of times it's kids that either got too much attention or kids that got no attention. Both can lead to true NPD. And what's the internet doing? It's just making that louder.
Yeah.
Kids that want to be a content creator and can't get any fucking attention, or kids that want fucking attention and all of a sudden blow up.
Yeah.
So what's it going to create? What's it going to create when your whole life from this generation on is about internet clout?
Yeah.
And it really is.
I'm listening to a book right now. By the way, if you have a Spotify account you're paying for, you can get like 15 hours of audiobook for free.
Yeah.
Not additional, whatever. So,
and the library. I just had to say that because my mom yells at me all the time.
Yeah.
I bought like an Audible thing and my mom yelled at me. And then she's like, you know, you can just do Audible books from the library for free. I'm like, all right,
my
mom.
My wife says the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just... It's an easier interface.
No, Spotify's so good. Yeah, Spotify's good.
and I have an Audible account that I'm literally paying for as well. But
I just guilt myself by buying the book.
Yeah.
Then I'll go listen to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I buy like a $9.99 audiobook. I'm like, all right, fuck, I better listen to this.
Yeah. Listening to this book called Clanlands, which is about It's about Scotland, but it's a, it was a TV series, like a reality kind of TV series, with a couple of the actors from Outlander, and they both have you know, Scottish backgrounds and whatever. So they did this series, and this book is the companion to the series, except that it's very behind the scenes. Like, yeah, I mean, if you don't understand how reality shows are filmed,
yeah,
this is a pretty good insight of how people think about it, and like what kind of shots they set up and what they think is going to work on TV and whatever. But it's not like you're not seeing the reel, because there's no reel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It does it pull the veil a bit?
A lot.
You know how scripted it is.
Yeah.
I learned that early. Shout out my boy Kenny Zantucci. He was just the first one, and he was one of the first reality stars ever. And he just straight up told me, he's like, reality TV, if they control the environment, you act real.
Yeah.
If they don't control the environment, they're going to script you.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
That totally makes sense.
And that's what the real world was. They controlled the environment.
Yeah.
So they put the vodka in there, and they put who's in there. And then he's like, they didn't tell me how to be. I was me. But they controlled everything around me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like a lab experiment.
Yeah. And that's what makes it interesting. That's why I watch live streams. Because live streams feel like that.
Yeah.
It feels like truly authentic. You don't know what's about to happen.
Yeah. So one of the actresses in a spitting distance of my age, and there is one bit of one chapter where he talks about this very close friend of his who died in a car accident, and how he felt about it, and he, in the course of it, makes a tribute to this guy by doing this thing that this guy would have enjoyed had he been around, whatever. And it was very affecting to me personally, and I have like a little bit of a mental connection to that actor now that I didn't have before, because I know we've been through a similar thing, not the same thing, but a similar thing. And now, now he's told the story one time, every once in a while he'll reference that person because that person was part of his life.
Sure.
But you're not hearing the whole fucking story again.
Yeah, it's not his whole Instagram.
It's not his whole life. It's not his whole branding. It's not about how sad he is.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things that frustrates me about people on social media is they'll make a post that is inscrutable. Like, you can tell there's a fucking sad thing going on or whatever, but they don't tell you what it is. It's like, why bother?
Right.
Like, really? Like,
they're just trying to like foreshadow or something. It's literally like writing a script.
Either tell the story in a way that you can kind of close the loop on it so people understand what you're saying, or, you know, it's a text to people who know you. I mean,
yeah.
Instead of putting it on social. And
it's just a scream for attention.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I mean,
I did that on MySpace, but I was a fucking 12.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like,
you grow up and I put a sad song when I was sad.
Yeah.
But I was 12 years old. I didn't know what else to do, you know, but like, hopefully you grow up and you move on beyond that.
Yeah.
It is just like an attention positive loop. Because you tell the story about me jerking off too much, it gets a bunch of likes. Well, yeah. Every week I'm going to do a post about me jerking off so much because I got a bunch of likes.
And then it becomes viral in the not necessarily explosively viral way, but in the in people's heads viral way,
yeah.
Where someone says, oh, geez, maybe I'm addicted to porn.
Right. No, 100%. And then they attach to your content because you're going to tell them how to drop the hub.
I don't understand. I don't get it at all.
Put your dicks away.
Yeah.
Everyone listening.
Seriously. So yeah, this article says the moral incongruence around pornography use is consistently the best predictor of the belief that one is experiencing pornography-related problems or dysregulation. And comparisons of aggregate effects reveal that it's consistently a much better predictor than porn use itself.
Yeah. I mean, it makes so much sense to me because like psych diagnoses like this have been around.
Yeah.
And porn addiction hasn't been around.
No.
What changes the internet? So you may be addicted to the internet.
Yeah.
But you're probably not addicted to porn.
Probably not addicted to porn.
Or addicted to your phone.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, new episodes Wednesday, Friday. Third Street Barbell, Sacramento, California. If you're ever in town, stop on by. 3sb.co for all your apparel needs. New sock drop coming very, very soon. So stay tuned to that. If you want to get involved, goodcompanydiscord.com. That's a like-minded community, early access to all our drops. And I'm in there chatting all day. So I'll see you on goodcompanydiscord.com.
I am at DJ McD on all the social media. And by the way, I will link this article so you can read it. So you can, it's not just coming out of my mouth here. This show is 50% facts, where percent is a word and 50 is just numbers. 50% facts is a Spreaker Prime podcast in association with iHeartMedia on the Obscure Celebrity Network. And we'll talk to you next time.